All right, we're another busy week, big week for us in training camp here. The Giants trying to pull together as much as we can this week to be ready for the regular season, and let's put ourselves in the most competitive position possible. So, trying to get the most out of every day, preparation wise, practice, planning, and so forth. So. Busy time in camp for us, but hopefully a productive one.
Bill, how has it been managing just the one cut situation now this weekend as opposed to previous years with more than one?
It's fine.
Coach, several of your players are from the Houston area. You know, there's a terrible floods going on there right now. Have you had a chance to kind of touch base with any of those guys and see how their families are doing back home?
Well, I've talked to some of the people in Houston that I know, some of the people with the Texans, talked to them. So it sounds like they're pretty challenging situation. So definitely our thoughts and go out to them, and we've expressed those, and we'll see what we can do.
Coach, usually at this time, I think you would be down to 75. Is it harder now to get the team ready for that last preseason game with so many more pieces?
No, I think in some respects it's easier.
Why is it easier then?
Because you still get a chance to look at those people that you want to look at. You know, some of them are maybe competing for roster spots, but a lot of them are competing for practice squad spots or eventual practice squad spots. And then the roster is going to change here over the course of the season. So just gives those guys another opportunity.
What was it like having Slater back out there today?
It's always good to have players back out there. We had a number of guys that came back. So.
And what does he add to the team when he's out there?
I think we've all talked about that.
So how do you balance getting some of these guys who are going to play probably a good amount against the Giants, getting them ready for this game, but also at the same time preparing for the Chiefs? Is it a tough balancing act there for the staff and for the players who are going to play?
Again, we have a lot going on now, so it's same as every other team in the league. Let's do the best we can to cover all our bases.
Could Thursday's game serve as a tiebreaker for some of these guys who are battling for final roster spots?
Sure.
Trying to keep an open mind throughout the entire. So this game might benefit some guys who are maybe would have been cut this time.
Well, it's another opportunity. It's another opportunity. So you know, it's a finite number. It's not unlimited.
How has Austin Carr progressed since he got here, and how do you think he looked in the most recent preseason game?
You know, Austin's done a good job for us. He's been durable. He's been out there every day. He's worked hard to get better. There's still a lot of things he can improve on. So, like a lot of other guys on the team, you know, making progress. Clock's ticking. We're coming down to the wire. But, you know, he's battled, he's competed, he's been out there every day.
So when you get down to the final few roster decisions, how much, if at all, does the schedule the first few weeks of the season influence who might stay, who might go based on what scheme you may employ against Kansas City, New Orleans? First couple of weeks?
Well, realistically, I'd say probably not too much. I mean, we're going to, you know, the teams in this league, we're all going to keep a 53-man roster. We're going to activate 46 players on game day, so 7 players will be inactive. I mean, I can't imagine that there are too many players at 51, 52, and 53 that are, you know, a key part of the game plan Not saying they're not important, not saying they don't have a role, but, I mean, realistically, I don't think the decision between the 53rd and 55th spots are going to impact too many teams' game plans this week when you can only have 46 players active. That's a lot of those players are developmental players that are younger players that you know are going to be inactive for a while, depending on the health of your team, but just on their development, how quickly they can develop and either earn a spot on the active roster or be needed on the active roster due to injury or possibly game plan or scheme if there was something that was that they were that integral for. But I think that's what a lot of those players are, is just, you know, where you want to keep your depth and where you want to try to develop players like James White 3 years ago or Brady in 2000 or whoever it is, guys that aren't going to play that may eventually, hopefully, have a much bigger role on your team. I think there are a lot of players that fall into that category at the spots you're talking about.
I asked Brandon Cooks how he was feeling just through the grind of camp, and he said, I'm 23, you know, I feel great, and like almost like it's Pop Warner, I'm running around, and I'm curious what if you've noticed from him, like that youthful sort of exuberance just in his approach from his time here.
Brandon's in good condition, been out there every day, works hard, runs hard, so looks good.
Is it to have a player with 3 years' experience at that age? I mean, is that something that when you think that means that came in so young? I mean, is that more of an outlier?
I think it's becoming more common these days. You know, guys going to college and after 3 years, you know, Gronkowski was like that. I mean, there have been other examples, but I'd say it's more frequent now. Not certainly the norm, but just happens more often. You know, if they don't redshirt, well, even if they do redshirt their freshman year, it doesn't make any difference. Once they've been 3 years, if they want to come out, they can come out. So I know in our scouting, there's a lot of players that we're scouting that are, this is their third year. You know, Peppers, I mean, there's another kid that I don't think he played his freshman year, didn't play much, whatever it was. So there are a lot of guys like that that come out after 3 years. You got to be ready for them from the scouting standpoint and bring them onto your team. Just, you know, kind of widens the gap between the youth of them and the age of your veterans, whatever that is. So, but, I mean, we're all dealing with it. Every team in the league's got them.
Bill, three new bodies in practice today, and I think caught some of us by surprise because you have to start subtracting some names pretty soon. Two edge guys and a linebacker. Did you feel like you needed some better reinforcements at those positions?
We feel like we'd be able to give them an opportunity to play in the game and take a look at them, see how it goes.
You anticipate having them available on Thursday night?
Well, we'll see. See where they are. I mean, if they're not ready, no. If they're ready, then possibly, yeah.
Bill, you talked about guys like James White and Brady who you knew they'd have an impact, you know, eventually, but maybe not.
Well, I didn't say that. I said they didn't have an impact their rookie year. They were on the active roster. They were hardly ever active. We hoped that they would develop.
What did you see out of them that led you to believe that they would develop into what they are?
Well, we thought that they would be able to improve in the areas they were deficient at. Obviously, they were deficient, or they would have played more in that year. So they improved in the areas that they need to improve in. And the next year, for both of them, when they got an opportunity, they performed better at a more competitive level and earned the opportunity to play in the second year and succeeding years. Not uncommon. A lot of guys that, Vince Wilfork, Seymour, let me go right down the line. We had a lot of great players that were here as rookies that Matt Light or Nate Solder that either played out of position or played some of the time and before they became, call it regular players or some of our more productive players, Gronkowski, put him in there too. I mean, you put most all of them in there, really. I mean, other than a handful of guys like McCourty, Mayo, there's a few, but not many. So that's more common than it is not common.
Bill, we saw Jordan Richards play a little closer to the line of scrimmage, almost looked like a linebacker role in the last game. Was that a reflection of a lack of depth there just because of injuries, or is that a spot that maybe if you guys want to take a look at to see if Jordan can play there?
Well, we have, I don't think you've seen us play a lot of players in different positions over the course through the years and even last year, so. Depends on the scheme we're in, team we're playing. It could be related to our depth. It could be related to our game plan. Could be related to what our opponents do, what their strengths are, and how we want to match up with them. So it could be any or all of those. And the more versatile the player is, and the more options we'll have going forward. Doing some of that in preseason gives you an idea of how comfortable the player is or isn't with making that type of, having those multiple type of responsibilities. Again, I would, you know, caution, as I usually do, about the comments that usually get made at this time of year about moving players from one position to another. That's not really, in my opinion, what's happening. It's, we only take 46 players to the game. You have to have some depth. Players have to be able to play more than one position. So if you have seven offensive linemen, you can't have a backup for every spot. So what gets characterized as moving players to a new position, in fact, to me, is establishing and creating the depth that you need on your roster for the NFL. That's what it is. It's not moving players to new positions. It's creating the depth that you need in this league. And that really is pretty much at every position there is. Skill positions, big positions, you name it. So that's the way I look at it. I know that people see it differently. I certainly respect that. That's just not the way I see it.
With Jordan, what about his skill set? I guess makes him effective playing a little closer to the line?
Well, you know, we don't really have, we have safeties. So they play wherever they play. We've all seen all those guys. We've seen Devin on the line. We've seen Sean on the line. We've seen Jordan on the line. We've seen Nate on the line. We've seen Deron on the line. So if that's where they need to play on that call or that adjustment or that formation, then that's where they are.
Final question.
Bill, when you lose a guy like Julian Edelman, who has a lot of focus in your offense, what is the collaboration like with Josh and maybe even Tom of kind of, do you sit together and kind of regroup a formula or a method of maybe plays that were going to Jules or being used elsewhere with other players or just a different approach? What is that coaching collaboration like with Josh?
Well, Josh and I talk all the time, every day, about our offensive system and kind of what we're installing, where we're going, certainly from week to week, depending on the team that we're playing, what we're going to do, so. You know, I don't really, I mean, we don't really have plays that go to one guy. I don't think you can throw the ball like that, just drop back and throw it to one guy. You run a pass pattern, and depending on what the coverage is and what the defense does, then hopefully the ball goes to the right player. Now, some players have different skill sets. All players have different skill sets. So what one player does well and what another player does well aren't always the same thing. Each player is unique. Each player has his own set of skills. So depending on who the players are in there, that affects sometimes what we do with them. But in terms of saying we're going to go back and throw the ball to this guy on that play and throw the ball to somebody else on another play, I mean, unless it's a screen, I'd say, you know, that rarely happens. So that's not really the conversation. The conversation is, what plays do you run? Who runs them? Who's where? Who does what? Based on how well they execute those plays, and then hopefully the quarterback will read the defense, run the play, and get the ball to the guy that we should be throwing to. And whoever that is, I don't know who that is. Depends on what the defense does. So that's, but, you know, we might, whoever plays a certain position might, we might run more or less of a certain type of route because of that player's skills. So that's, I mean, we definitely do that, or might design patterns that a player does particularly well. In order for him to do that, doesn't mean the ball's going to him. Doesn't mean the ball's going not going to somebody else. Depends on what the defense does. But the skill set of the players is reflected in the position they're put in for the route that they're going to run on that play. Okay. All right. Thank you.